17. A Message Received. Mr. Socrates was seated at the dining-room table of Victor House. He had just finished a late dinner of roast duck, garlic potatoes, and turnips. He sipped his tea. His mind was working on several problems at once. The French had made private inquiries into whether the British government knew anything of the robbery at their embassy. It was obvious they were groping for answers, so Modo had done his work well. Then there was the death of Agent Weil in New York, which was troubling in a number of ways. First, someone knew that the British were pursuing the Actinio. Most likely the French, but it could be the Germans, or this new deadly enemy, the Clockwork Guild. Second, Weil was an experienced agent. This meant that whoever had killed him was likely even more experienced, and therefore dangerous. And finally, Mr. Socrates had liked Weil. The man had been tough and competent, and someone he trusted implicitly. Weil's only weakness had been that he was growing too old for the game. At that, Mr. Socrates smiled grimly. Old? He had at least 20 years on Weil. Maybe he was getting too old. No. This was a permanent post in the permanent association. All the members had sworn an oath to stand guard and defend their country until the last beat of their hearts. The Prime Minister, the politicians, the military, even Queen Victoria, were all unable to adequately protect it. They could not act with impunity, as there were so many eyes watching them. But the permanent association was invisible, and could act wherever and whenever it wanted. The order that Britannia had brought to the world was good and necessary. Cook entered with a dish of roly-poly, a rolled-up suet pudding with custard on the side. It had been a childhood favourite of Mr. Socrates, and always reminded him of his years in the Navy, too. His fellow officers had called it Dead Man's Arm. As Cook set the pudding on the table, someone rang the door chimes. A moment later, Tharper entered with a telegram. Mr. Socrates set down his spoon and opened the envelope. He quickly decoded the message. Octavia reporting, stop. Ship rammed by unknown, unseen enemy, stop. Modo lost in ocean, stop. Hiring searchers, stop. Need funds, stop. Orders, stop. Mr. Socrates read it again. He's dead, he whispered. Tharper stepped toward him. The young Saab? Yes. He fell into the ocean more than 11 hours ago. He would be frozen to death by now. All that work lost. And that foolish girl believes he might still be alive. I did try to teach her to be logical, but clearly she doesn't listen. Are you certain that she is the one you are angry with, Saab? Mr. Socrates scowled and looked up at Tharper, who stood there, arms crossed. His gaze was steady, calm, but the glimmer of a tear rested on his cheek. Exactly what are you daring to suggest? With whom do you suppose I should be angry? Myself? Or is this more Dalit mysticism?
I am speaking as your friend.
Friend? The word took Mr. Socrates aback. Friendship was not a term they had ever used to describe their relationship over the years. He had lifted Tharper from the muck of Bombay, from a miserable life as part of the untouchable class. And this was how the man repaid him? By accusing him of... Mr. Socrates wasn't exactly certain what.
Yes, friend. You are my Saab, but you are my friend too. It is not impossible to be both. I concluded that long ago. Just as Modo is both my friend and my pupil. If he is dead, I will mourn him deeply.
If he is dead? This is too much, Tharper. Mr. Socrates stood up with a grunt of exasperation. Cable Octavia in Reykjavik. She is to cease all activities and return to London immediately for reassignment.
If that is what Saab wants.
Yes, that is what I want. Please send her the message now.
Tharper nodded solemnly and left the room.
Had everyone gone mad?
Mr. Socrates looked down at the roly-poly. Dead man's arm. His stomach turned, and he pushed his chair back from the table. He climbed the stairs to his room, his limbs heavy. He had to be resolute. This day was far from done, but here neither Tharper nor Cook would bother him. Looking at himself in the mirror, he saw that he was older. All that work training agents, setting them on their assignments, his great struggle against the enemies of Britain. Many had died serving the cause. Modo was just another death, another sacrifice. His eyes strayed to the portrait on the dresser of his wife, Margaret, dead now for 20 years, and below that the golden bracelet he'd bought for the baby, the boy his wife had died giving birth to. The child had taken his last breath only moments later. Mr. Socrates could still feel the child's lifeless body in his arms. His child. His son. Dead. Modo dead? It couldn't be. Surely he had been prepared for the risks better than that. Are you certain that she is the one you are angry with, Saab? Tharper was always speaking in riddles. It was infuriating. Just what was he insinuating? Octavia was acting out of passion, not reason. She deserved his anger. And Modo was not his son. He was a highly trained agent of the British Empire. Mr. Socrates crossed his arms. He was, above all else, the stalwart commander of the most powerful agency in the world. He had to move the pieces on the chessboard without succumbing to maudlin sentiment. Despite these conclusions, he found himself moving across his room, opening the door and walking down the hall, to the top of the stairwell. He spoke without knowing if anyone would hear him.
Tharper. His voice was a hoarse whisper. Wire Octavia £500. Tell her to continue the search.
He heard Tharper answer from the shadows below.
I shall, Saab.